you missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's now time to talk about salary increases and what you can expect for 2024 going into 2025. And according to Dr. Mark Bisson, who is the Master Rewards Specialist and Executive Committee Member at the South African Reward Association, South Africans can look forward to an average salary increase of 6% in 2024-2025. And Dr. Bisson joins us on the line. Doctor, thank you so much for your time. This salary increase, this average salary increase of 6%, is this good? Is this okay? Could it be better? How are you looking at it?
Thank you for having me. It is good because anything more than inflation is good. The CPI or inflation rate is about 4.something percent. Let's call it 4.4%. And the 6% is 1.6% real growth. So that's good. Can it always be better? Yes, indeed, we can always get more.
Have we ever seen it better, or has it always been around this particular single-digit figure?
So there's an informal way of looking at it that most companies would say we need at least 1% or 2% above inflation, and we haven't had that for a while. So it's good. It's good news. It's as good as it gets. Of course, anything more than inflation means it's a real increase.
Okay, so if it's as good as it gets, what does this hinge on in order for us to continue into this, or, you know, employees to be excited as well as companies themselves? What needs to be in play macro-wise that will filter in into the company and allow for the 6% or so to continue?
So government plays a very, very important role. We need policy stability. So if you're an international investor and you want to invest in a mine or a bank, you need to know what the plan is for the next 10, 20, 30 years. You need that policy certainty. You don't want to hear things like it's going to be nationalized, or I can't get my money out, or I can't run the business how I want to. So no one minds what the policy is, but it just needs to be stable and certain. That attracts foreign investment. Once you've got foreign investment, the GDP growth also stands a better chance of growing. So you get a higher GDP growth. If the country is growing, that means you're creating jobs. And if you're creating jobs, companies are doing better. So they all link to each other. But I think the starting point is government. We need to be an investment-friendly place. And then employers need to feel that they can have the flexibility they need to run their companies.
It's so interesting because, you know, a lot of what you talk about is a common thread that we had a little bit earlier on in my discussion with the CEO of Pick and Pay, Sean Summers, as well as the CEO of Baldwin Properties, Steve Brooks. They were talking about continuing on this trajectory, and that could mean, you know, a brighter future that all of us have been looking forward to, especially as it relates to not just GDP growth, but the policy side of things. So, say we do continue on this trajectory where everybody is excited, they're doing the right things, and we're ticking off the right side of stuff when it relates to policy. What other influences or other factors play a role when it comes to those salary increases or setting salary increases?
Okay, so once you've got the economy and the country going well and the policies, the macro policies are working well, then you need to look at the company itself. Some companies perform better than others. And if a company is performing well, the chances are much better that you're going to get a bigger increase. And if a company is not performing well, well, then it doesn't matter what the market's doing. It doesn't matter what others are giving. Basically, you can't afford to give a pay increase. So company performance is right up there. And after that, I would say it's your individual performance. You know, if you're just going to work 8 to 5 and doing the bare minimum, you are going to get a smaller increase than someone that's going the extra mile.
Okay, so let's talk about, you know, unions and expectations and their demands. What role do they play in here? Because as a company, you could be thinking this is our ballpark range, and unions could come to the table and say, well, you know, our members would like a little bit more. I mean, how do they then play a role, and how does that then change some of the conversations that, you know, companies may be having internally within their executives?
No, thank you for that. That's a good reminder. It's a very good question. trade unions believe that the inflation rate for their members is higher than 4%. And where this comes from is that if you are earning, say, 10 or 15,000 rand a month, you're spending most of that money on food and transport. And we all know that the petrol, diesel, and food prices are going up quicker than other prices. So their inflation is actually a bit higher. That's why they're coming in with double-digit demands, 10, 12, 15, 20% increases. They also believe that they're coming off a very low base, which means we've got a lot of catch-up to play to get to what's called a living wage, not a minimum wage, but a living wage. So they play a big role. Unfortunately, what happens, though, is that the company has to budget an amount. They can only put the prices of their product or service up by a roughly inflation. They can't put their prices up by 10, 20, 30%. So it tends to be a long, protracted negotiation, and it tends to always wind up at around the inflation rate plus 1 or 2 or sometimes 3%. But then what companies can do to try and mitigate that a little bit is offer other things like more flexibility or transport or housing, or, you know, give a little bit on the benefit side of things.
Mm. When you look at your data, what does it tell you when we go into staff category for 2024? Like if we talk about, say, a general staff member versus one who's unionized or management executives, what do those categories look like?
So what we're trying to do in South Africa is close the wage gap, which means the gap between the lowest paid and the highest paid. So if you look at the categories of staff, you could say you've got your top management, senior management, middle, your supervisors, general staff, trade union staff. Generally what's happened over almost the last 15 years is that the folk at the bottom do get slightly bigger increases than the folk at the top. And that's an attempt to try and close that wage gap. So if you're looking at the very, very bottom end, it's more than 6%. It could be anywhere 7%. And looking at the CEO, it could be less than 10%, like anywhere from 4% to 5.7%. It's not just the private sector issue. That's also a government issue. When you look at public officers, when you look at the civil servants, they all try and apply the same budget to try and narrow that wage gap.
Let's talk about, we looked at, unions and the role they play, but we've also been talking about a reduction in interest rates from 8.25% to 8%, which does improve the cost of living gap somewhat as workers, pay less to service their debt. But you say it's a thin silver lining. What do you need to see in order for it to be an actual silver lining that's not necessarily thin, so to speak?
So the thin silver lining is when you've got just 1 or 2% above inflation. A real silver lining is if you've got, say, 3, 4, 5% above inflation. That's possible if the economy is growing at 2 or 3%, which if our government continues as it has in the last couple of months and the trajectory is the same for the next year or two, then I think we will get 2 or 3% GDP growth, which means companies will perform better, which means we can get those bigger increases. So I'd say a really good increase is anything 3, 4, 5% above the inflation rate would be a really good increase.
All right, Dr. Bussin, thank you so much for your time. That is Dr. Mark Bussin talking to us about what we can expect when it comes to salary increases in 2024-2025.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.